Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Pete of Laker Film Room and of this show 3 times a week. Always a reminder that you can catch the show every day on anywhere that you find podcasts. We cover this team in a light way. We are getting ready for a super exciting season, and I can't wait to get to it with all of you on this one. On today's show, we are going to start with a bit of a comparison between Kyle Kuzma signing his extension and some of the other extensions that we've seen go out across the league, especially in regarding the Clippers. We've seen the Clippers have to seemingly overpay a lot of their guys, while the Lakers have quite a few guys on their roster who are underpaid just compared to market value, which I find very interesting. And so Pete and I gave our thoughts on that. In the second segment, we dove deeper into the Kuzma extension, what it means for him, for his family, for the Lakers, and the Lakers as this familial organization that they are really pushing this year. So fun segment there, fun little discussion there on how this actually works out great for both sides. Then finally, in the third segment, seeing as the Lakers and Clippers are going to get underway, we are going to preview just the first kind of few weeks of the season, first 10 games or so of the season, some of the things that we're going to be looking for as that gets underway. A lot of Dennis Schroeder talk in that one. Also, because we are kicking off our partnership with betonline.ag, after the first segment, we bring back one of our favorite segments from last year, where we talk, we make our pick of the night. Lakers are underway, so we discuss that game and some of the betting angles and some of what's going into that one. So thanks again to Bet Online for that partnership. Really excited to bring that segment back. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get to the show. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced the uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the Lakers signed or extended Kyle Kuzma, 3 years, $40 million. The Clippers extended Luke Kennard, 4 years, $64
million. Oof.
What? I thought it was a typo.
Hey, man, like, Kennard can shoot a little bit, but I just had this clip handy because I've been going through all this THT footage of THT just bodying him on a layup.
You tweet that
just
out.
Just like well shedding him. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. Good luck. Good luck with that.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, look, I don't want to read more into it than we actually have to. And we're going to get to the Lakers and Clippers game here in a bit in a couple different ways. But there was the quote from Kawhi Leonard when he was asked about his future and in any potential extension or his player option, right? And he was pretty non-committal is a word I would use there, where he basically said, you know, so here's the quote. Kawhi Leonard on future, this is from Om Young-Mi-Suk. Not saying I'm going anywhere else or staying here, but I'm focused on this season. Obviously, if I'm healthy, the best decision is to decline the player option, but that doesn't mean I'm leaving or staying. We'll talk about that when the time is right. And then, you know, you compare that to LeBron and AD committing through action to the Lakers for the next half decade or so. And then you compare the type of deals that it's taken. They gave Marcus Morris this, I think it's basically the same deal, right? That
$464 million.
Got.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4 years, $64 million to keep him there. The Lakers have the other Morris brother for a fraction of that cost. We already compared the Kuzma deal there to the deal that they handed over to Luke Kennard. And my thing is, like, I don't know if it's because these guys are like brand new to being Clippers, and because the Clippers are working from a bit of a deficit when it comes to cachet with players. But it's hard to look at these deals that have gone out and not recognize how far below market value the Lakers are able to get and keep their guys compared to what the Clippers are having to pay the guys that they're keeping in-house. And I don't know what's going on there or whatever, but that's pretty striking to me just on face value.
I think part of the value that the Lakers brand adds is that it amplifies everybody, right? And you and I are included in that as well. In that, yeah. Like, if you're associated with the Lakers, you get a bump. Mm-hmm. And we've always looked at that in terms of endorsements and endorsement money, but just your platform, whether you're a player or people like us, you get a real nice head start because of the Lakers brand. And I do think that, you know, Kuz signing a 3-year, $40 million deal, if you do that with the Lakers, I think that versus $464 for the Clippers, while on its surface is, you know, 1 year, $24 million difference, I do think that even in a financial sense, Kuz is able to make up for some of that by being a Laker and some of the opportunities. And that extends beyond endorsements.
Already has a shoe deal.
Become available. Right. And so, right, if he's playing elsewhere, does that happen? Maybe not. And so that speaks to every element of an organization matters, including their marketing department. The Lakers becoming a global brand and embraced around the world is part of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fans matter. The fans are important. The fans are part of the whole ecosystem, and in a way that really drives decisions. And I think that these examples that you're talking about speak to that.
Yeah, I remember when I was just trying to break into the industry, like literally months into this thing, I was writing it at Rant Sports, and then I got offered an opportunity. It's funny, it was not a paid gig or anything like that. It was just literally, like, you just sign on and you write or whatever. And it was to cover the Clippers back when during Lob City. And it was for a company called SportSpeak. And there was already a Lakers writer, so I had to just slide in and basically write about the Clippers. At that stage of my career, it was like,
interesting.
Yeah, I wanted to just get as much of my writing out there as possible.
Sure, foot in the door, all that. I get it.
Yeah, just get as many bylines out there and see if something sticks. So I remember writing about, and at that time I was still, you know, covering the Lakers, and there was at that time also it was like, and I was doing Dodger stuff and NFL stuff, and it was literally just writing. It was terrible writing. I've gone back and read some of it. It was just garbage. But I remember covering those Clippers teams, and I put some legit time and thought into covering that team. And it was just drops in water. You know, it just didn't resonate in the same way that any Lakers stuff tended to resonate. And, you know, I have my issues with ESPN and with TNT and the way that the NBA is marketed, but it's kind of hard to argue once you get access to the type of numbers and the impact that just attaching Lakers to something has on every bit of engagement. It's just how it works.
There's a reason they do it, right? Like there's a reason it works that way for sure.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was funny because I saw the way that this was all kind of going down, and I've seen now these deals that have all come back to back to back to back, and to see the differences in those deals and how, and what the Lakers have been able to do below market value is pretty crazy, frankly. All right. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Head on over to betonline.ag. And when you sign up using the promo code Locked On, you'll get 50% of your initial deposit back as part of their welcome bonus program that they have going on. So again, that's betonline.ag. Use promo code Locked On. Tonight's game of the night or day or whenever you're listening to the show is obviously the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. It is technically a quote unquote home game for the Lakers, though nobody's going to be there. I guess it means that they'll see their banners up there. That's about it. But the Lakers heading into this one are 3-point favorites. And the money line, if the Clippers were to win, is plus 135. So it's kind of an interesting one here because it's the first game of the season. I have already put down my own bet on this. So I bet $10 that the Lakers would win outright or cover the spread of 3 points, but that the game's going to hit the under because I think it's going to be kind of clunky and everybody's going to be, remember how ugly the first game was last year?
The first bubble game back, especially too. Oh yeah, that too. The first game of the year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I just have a feeling these teams don't like each other very much. And I think you'll see a lot of trying a little too hard or trying to swish everything rather than just shooting, you know, freely and stuff like that. But how do you see, when you hear the numbers, you know, the Lakers being favored by 3 points, it's a home game. So technically, like usually if they're favored by 3 points, that would mean that they have these teams as even basically, but because of the circumstances, I think it's actually a true, they actually think that the Lakers are 3 points better. How do you feel about it though?
Yeah, I think that home court advantage, or I'm sorry, that the ring ceremony mm-hmm. is something that plays into that, mm-hmm. right? Where Mike Trudell the other day on the LFR pod made a comment that it's like a 5-point handicap when you've got a ring ceremony, because, and just think the nature of it, right? Like when you go to play a game, you're getting your mind ready and it's mm-hmm. very, your mind is in the moment. You are very present. We're about to play this team. This is the guy that I'm guarding. These are his tendencies. Mm-hmm. This is our game plan and all that. But it's very like, I'm thinking about this moment right now in the next 2 or 3 hours where we're going to be playing this game. The nature of a ring ceremony, which happens right before all of that, is, and this is the beautiful shiny diamond that you get right up from what yeah. happened last year. And so you can't help but kind of be in the past. Mm-hmm. So I think that that line is probably impacted by that fact. If I'm a Clipper and watching that, I want to kick their asses. Right? Yeah. Right. You know? And so I think all of that plays in. I'm still going to go with Lakers covering the spread because I just think that we're a good deal better than them, and they were very disjointed in the preseason. And I, mm-hmm. I know that it is the preseason, but being disjointed now matters because there isn't that same, and they didn't have a ton of continuity. They were disjointed the last time we saw them play too. So it's not just something that they can just snap their fingers and they're going to have to work toward that. I think we're further ahead in the process than they are. So I think we win, you know, closer to 7-8 points would be my guess.
Yeah. We talked about the identity with the Lakers, and we focus a lot on the shift in identity with the Lakers, but not having Trez coming off of their bench, I think, is really going to affect them, and especially regular season games. Somebody that you just know that the game is going to flip more often than not with the energy that he brings off of the bench. And now not only are they not going to have that, but that's going to be a presence for the Lakers. Like, I think that's something that could really play a bigger role than it might normally. So yeah, I'm pretty confident in the Lakers taking this one.
Yeah, and Trez is not going to be thinking about his ring that he earned last year, right? No. He's going to be very in the moment that night. So I expect him to be a factor.
Yep. So one more time, that is betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. And make sure you guys check out all of the bets they have across a brand new interface that is super easy to use as well. That is Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so Kuzma gets his extension. I frankly, you know, once LeBron and AD signed their deals and the Lakers cap was going to be kind of obliterated anyway, in a good way. If you want your cap to be screwed up, you want it to be because you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James committed to you long term.
Yeah, that's not screwed up at all. That is exactly the point of cap space.
So they have. Once they did that, I thought it felt somewhat likely if they could come to a number that made sense for Kuzma. I know there were some reports that he was expecting a number significantly higher than this one, He was looking, I'd heard it as high as the $20 million a year range. I don't think the Lakers were ever going to do that, but he signs a 3-year, $40 million contract. And that third year is a player option that I would imagine he's probably going to reject unless something goes really, really poorly. But what do you think about the deal itself and how it all came to be and where this leaves Kuzma and the Lakers moving forward?
Yeah, the amount is less than I thought it would be, as you alluded mm-hmm. to. That player option, I think, is important because that's the first time that's been included in one of these extension type of contracts is to have mm-hmm. a player option that's normally reserved for guys who have hit unrestricted free agency. So that's a little, that is a give back to Kuzma. And for Kuz, above all else, I am really happy for Kuz because obviously he's been on an NBA contract. This is his fourth year mm-hmm. and he's made some money. And like you said, he's got a shoe deal, but this is for him and his family. This is a life and generational changing mm-hmm. event, right? This is a whole different type of wealth. He's been guaranteed throughout the first 4 years of his career, I think 10 million, maybe 12 million, somewhere in that range over the lifetime of his deal. Now he's got a guaranteed 40 at least, right? And that player option is something that if something were to happen, he can always opt into that. And, you know, he's guaranteed that. And so I'm really happy for him. He's put a lot of work in. I know he's somebody that rubs a lot of Laker fans the wrong way, but as we've gotten into recently, he's improved in different aspects of the game. A lot of those not being quite as glorious as scoring. And I was worried that he would be a guy because of this is such a life-changing event in his life, this contract really making that type of money for the first time in his life, that of course that would be motivating factor throughout the course of this season. If he had unrestricted free agency coming up on a mm-hmm. team where really we need Kuz to defend and we need him to make open shots, right? We need him to attack closeouts and pass when it's appropriate, but he's not going to be a 20 point per game guy for us more than likely for the same reasons we were talking about with Schroeder earlier. So Kuz not having to worry about that and having that money locked in, I think allows him to be to focus more on the team, focus more on the things that he's being asked to do without worrying like, yeah, it's great that I'm setting a good screen or cutting hard to clear space on one side of the court. Am I going to get paid for that?
Can we start making those stats? Like, can we?
Right. Can I put this in a contract negotiation? So yeah, that, I think that's a big benefit for
Rudy Gobert gets screen assists all the time. Like, why can't,
can we talk about that on here?
But like Kyle Kuzma, I 100%, 150% agree with the point that you just made there, though, is that, you know, when you have somebody, so it's kind of a balance and it's kind of a risk, basically. If you say, hey, we want you to earn your next deal with your play this season, Kuzma might take that to mean, well, do you want me to earn it with you guys and do the things that you guys want me to do? Or do you want me to earn it in ways that guys typically get paid
right,
through those avenues that people usually get paid through, which is counting stats, you know, shooting percentages and all that stuff. I do think we're seeing kind of a shift in the way that guys get paid. I think teams really prioritize winning in the deals that they're giving. Now you're still going to have the Knicks of the world and more bottom feeders out there that are fine paying based off of those counting stats and whatever it takes to get people in the house. You know, Houston is going to be this in a couple of years too. And you know, with those kind of situations, yeah, sure, it would have helped Kuzma maybe get a deal with those guys. But I still think in 2020 or heading into 2021 in the NBA, and I would love to ask Jared Dudley about this and whether he's had this conversation with Kuzma about it, is you see the kind of deals that Danny Green keeps getting, you know, and he gets those through just being a star at his role. He gets those through being mm-hmm. one of the best
reliable,
most reliable 3-and-D players that allow LeBron James to be LeBron James or allow Kawhi Leonard to be Kawhi Leonard when they were teammates. And I think, you know, for Kuz, he gets to focus on doing the things that made Jared Dudley the star that he is in his role. Now that he doesn't have to worry about, God, I'm not going to average 15 points this year. I'm not going to average 17 points. My scoring keeps going down from my rookie season when I averaged about 18 points per game. What, you know, how am I going to make this up in contract negotiations? Are the Knicks going to listen to me when I say, hey, I was playing with LeBron James. It was kind of hard to get the number of shots up without being seen as a ball hog and costing me minutes in that way as well. So I think in general, I think it's a very team friendly deal. The player option, I think, is a way that, you know, you would do this all the time in 2K, where you needed to free up like five extra million in cap space, right? And you basically had that ticker where it would gauge how a player would react to the contract you might offer. And you would say, all right, I don't want to pay this player 17 million per year. So you bring those numbers down. And as you bring that number down, that gauge would like slowly turn red and the interest level would drop. So what you would do is you would add the player option at the back end of it, and the interest would just jump immediately. So this felt like I could actually see that kind of negotiation going on there. As we saw that come to be, I think it's a great, I think it's, and also importantly, if some player out there becomes available on the trade market, Kuz's salary ballast, like you don't have to include a bad contract with him to be able to make those contracts work if and when the trade market comes to be. And if we see that look like it might look even as recently as this last offseason, right, with Dennis Schroeder, where in order to get Schroeder, you had to include Danny Green's contract and I think it was a pick, right?
Whereas, yeah, our first round pick. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they had, you know, maybe had Kuzma been making more money, they just take Kuzma there in that moment or something like that. And it's just about creating flexibility and Kuzma's deal being well below market value. I think a switchy defender who already was an important part of a championship level team, they usually make well above 13 million per year. So this is just another example of the Lakers being able to have somebody whose talent is probably significantly higher than what they have to pay said talent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that Rob Pelinka has really impressed me by is the ability to find scenarios that work for everybody on multiple levels, mm-hmm. right? So Kuzma secures the bag for mm-hmm. the first time, this size of bag, but it also gives him an opt out at like age 28. Mm-hmm. And so he could totally get a 4-year contract from somebody for his, you know, 28 prime. Through 31. Right. Yeah. And be, if he wants a different role or something, he's positioned to do that. So this deal makes sense for Kuz. It also makes sense for the Lakers for the reasons that you're saying there, right? Along with he's a good player. And when we see some of the other extensions that are coming out, right? Markelle Fultz, OG Anunoby, I thought, you know, Toronto is a team-friendly deal for 4 and 72 for him. But we're seeing some of the other extensions that are dropping right before the deadline. And it's like, yeah, this is a good deal for the Lakers. And it gives the team, and, you know, if it comes to the point of a trade, I hope that we're considerate in that and that we're trying to find something that works for everybody. Cause I think Rob Pelinka really has a talent for that. And you see, even with guys that leave for the most part, the Dwight thing still rubs me the wrong way, but for the most part, your Danny Greens and, you know, Rondo, there's people on the way out like, hey, thank you. Thank you for handling things the way that you did. I appreciated that. And so if we can maintain that, that all plays into the why the Clippers got to pay so much more. It's not just brand. It's also, you know, the experience that players have. Because unless you're LeBron or AD, there's a lot of player movement in the NBA. There are mm-hmm. trades. There are, and that's going to be a part. We can, you know, we are a family. Our theme this year is Lakers family. We're also trying to be the best basketball team that we can be. And so striking that balance is difficult. But I think that's part of what Rob does well is finding scenarios that work for everybody.
Yeah, and in this case, you know, for what the Lakers are looking to do and what Kuzma is looking to do, there's a lot of this is a mutually beneficial situation, right? If Kuzma does grow as a player to where he, you know, kind of earns himself a larger role, either with the Lakers or somewhere else, then that helps the Lakers because that means they watched him mature and his production grew over the time, over the few years of this contract.
That's right.
And if he doesn't, and the Lakers, you know, wind up keeping him beyond this contract because of that, well, he now recognizes I maybe could have done more here. I maybe could have done more there and all of that as well. So I just think, you know, contracts, it can be this kind of sticky situation a lot of times, but I think like the one thing it's really fun. And it's frankly easy to kind of harp on the way that Pelinka talks in his press conferences and stuff. But like, I've heard from a few people that he in moments where he's talking to one of his guys back when he was an agent, he was very good at communicating and outlining those situations for his clients as well. And he did have a ton of respect from the people that he worked with and worked for. And here in this situation as well, being a former agent, like that really helps him here because he can say, look, if you and I were charting out your career, this is a phenomenal opportunity to do some winning earlier in your career, get paid fairly well while you're doing that winning. And then you can turn those championships or a championship right now, or, you know, hopefully plural championships here in a couple of years, you can go to some team and you can say, not only am I in the prime of my career, but I know what it takes to do some winning here. I have a ton of experience as a late first rounder. If you want me to mentor, you know, guys in your organization and tell them how I went from, you know, relative anonymity. Anonymity. It's like the Nemo thing. Anonymity. I can help, you know, your youth basically see what it takes to go from just being a late first round draft pick, having a good rookie season, kind of stumbling through the next couple of years, and then doing some winning and finding a way to help with that winning. If you're looking for all of these things, I am in the prime of my career and I have already shown you that I can do that winning. Here you go. And I'm sure that Pelinka will probably, I would imagine, guide him through each step of that highway and of the path that he's going to have to chart for himself here moving forward. I think it's just, I can't say enough about, like in a cap sport, you cannot possibly exaggerate how valuable it is for your team or the team that you root for to get guys below market value. Like it's it's the most important thing in a sport because everybody is working under those same provisions. And if your dollar goes further than your competition's, that's half the battle right there.
Absolutely. Right. Like every level from our second round pick balling out to our max guys being better than your max guys. Right. And we're seeing guys, you know, vet minimum guys that, you know, Mark Gasol, Markieff Morris, those are better than vet minimum players.
Absolutely.
And so at every level, we've got those type of guys. If I can speak really quickly, Anthony, to morale, just a different twist on this is there are, we've talked a lot over the years about how good the Lakers scouting department has been. And we don't talk as much about their player development. And Phil Handy has become kind of the guy that we throw all of the player development successes onto. But there's a whole staff of guys, right? Like Isaiah Fox and all those guys throughout the years that they're really good at their jobs too. And between the scouting department and seeing – we've seen a few guys become all-stars and break out and get $100 million plus contracts, but they've done it elsewhere. A lot of the successes of the scouting department and of the organization, those parts of the organization, were in service of getting Anthony Davis and getting to that point. So seeing a guy that they identified, drafted, and developed go, and Pelinka had a quote to this in the press release. It's very gratifying. It like feels good. He's our baby, and we raised him, and he's not perfect, but he is ours. He's part of the Laker family, and I'm really happy for Kuz, and I'm really happy for just the organization. That I don't know. It feels good to be a Laker.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we're going to look at the first 10 or so games of this Lakers schedule and try to outline some expectations as we now enter what's going to be a bit of a sprint here, quite frankly. This season is really going to fly, I think, and we got to get you guys ready for that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll save 20% off your next order of the best protein bars you will ever get. And you thought they were great before? Well, check out these new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. You can maybe guess which one I may or may not have had a role in naming. I didn't, but still, that's if I was going to name a protein bar, that's what it would sound like. Lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. You get that in addition to coconut almond, raspberry, orange, toffee almond, double chocolate, salted caramel, all of those good, great flavors. And they are just as refreshing, just as filling as they have ever been. And like I said, you can still continue to get them for 20% off your next order. So every time you hop on there, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, and you will get 20% off every order that you put in on that website. And I just can't understand why you would ever stop ordering such a great product. So one more time, if you're looking for a gift for your family member, or you're looking for a stocking stuffer, it's a great stocking stuffer. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off your next order. One more time, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, so we already talked about the Lakers tipping things off tonight against the Clippers. And then from there, they go, they play Dallas at home on Christmas. I can't wait for that game, by the way. And then you have Minnesota, Portland, San Antonio twice, Memphis twice, and San Antonio again. What do you think of, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, and then Chicago makes your 10th game. So what do you think of where were your expectations sit heading into this first like 8th of the season or 7th of the season?
I'm hoping for more developmental stuff than record. Like we know this team's good. We know what they're capable of. I'm really looking for incorporating the new guys. And then I think that the next, like finding who fits together, which two guys kind of vibe off each other well and for what reason, and really zeroing in on lineups and things like that. I hope just that first part is more experimental. THT, right? Finding minutes and role for him. So in terms of record, I don't know. I think we're probably 7-3-ish through that stretch, because I think that we're still really freaking good and we're going to win a lot of those games where we just play well for 12 minutes out of 48, and it's kind of annoying, but we still get the victory. I think there'll be a good deal of those number of games, but that's what I'm looking for through this first part. What about you?
A lot of the same stuff. Obviously, like, I honestly think that my focus here in these first 10 games or so, while everybody is healthy, knock on wood, is I want to see if Schroeder and LeBron can coexist in ways that, you know, make you comfortable with him being out there at the end of the game, right? And you know, there have been some times where offensively it doesn't look that great, and you know, LeBron isn't really a floor spacer, and Schroeder isn't really a floor spacer, and does it make more sense to have somebody with LeBron out there who's more of the KCP build, who does, you know, demand gravity from the defense more than Schroeder does when he's standing out at the 3-point line? Does it make more sense to have somebody like Kuzma out there who's a little bit longer and can defend a little bit more on the wing? all of those questions aren't going to be answered here in the first 10 games, but we are going to start to get kind of a picture. We're, you know, 10 games is a decent enough sample size to be able to say, all right, either this is looking really good or this is not looking so great. And how can we make it look better? Is it even worth pursuing to look better? Is this, you know, all of these things you're going to start seeing in kind of chapters here. And while they figure that out, they are talented enough to still win. But this feels like a juggernaut type of team. How quickly can they get to a rotation that consistently makes them look as such?
Yeah, no doubt. There's, I think we're going to find out what, I think this is the worst version of LeBron that we'll have in the first 10 games. Mm-hmm. And so what do we look like without, on the positive side? So we've talked so much about the quick turnaround and finding rotations and things like that. I think there's also a distinct possibility that we're going to kick the crap out of people, mm-hmm. and that Anthony Davis sets a lot of times for the MVP race. First impressions matter a lot. That first 10 to 20 games. Mm-hmm. And I think that with LeBron, I think dialing it down early on is at least that's what I think he should do. And AD looking ready to go, right? And in that prime, I think that he could be putting up 35 a night and leading us to a great record, mm-hmm. and challenging, you know, being in the DPOY conversation as well. This would be a great time if Anthony Davis, if that type of hardware matters to him, this would be a good time to put his stamp on things. So I do think that that's another thing, is like, how assertive is Anthony Davis going to be within that whole construct that you're talking about there?
And actually, I know we're spending a lot of time talking about Schroeder, but if LeBron does really ease himself into the season, that kind of sort of opens the door for Schroeder to really carve out his niche and then scale it back as LeBron gets into shape and really starts, you know, approaching the season as he starts ramping up as the season goes along. I'm also looking at, like, just really quickly, if we just look at the teams that the Lakers are playing here. So obviously the Clippers they're probably going to see them in the Western Conference Finals. So that's a really good team. Dallas, I think, is really good this year. I really like the stuff that they did in their offseason. They basically traded some kind of raw shooting for guys who can actually defend and some athleticism there. So I like the direction that they went in this year for Dallas. Minnesota, I think, is still kind of a mess. Portland hasn't looked good at all in the preseason. San Antonio twice. They're just kind of in that purgatory. The Lakers are going to be significantly better than them. Memphis is young, and they're still kind of trying to figure out their way as well. So I think the Lakers have a pretty noticeable advantage there. And then Chicago is a disaster of a team as well. So there are winnable games even while the Lakers iron out these wrinkles at the beginning of the season.
You know, there's like 100% chance we're down by double digits to Chicago at some point.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Zach LaVine looks like an MVP candidate.
Just mentally, if you're listening, mentally prepare yourself for a lot of that shit. I hope not, but that's my expectation.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny when you look at a schedule like this, it's really easy to just go like win. But there are, it's just like, you know, the sliders in 2K, right? Where there are games where, dude, that's a wide open shot. Why aren't you making that? And you go and you make sure that the sliders are actually okay. It's like, there are just some games, you have those sliders games here with the Lakers where it's like, you got to go back and look at like what the settings are at, because it doesn't make sense for them to be down this much or whatever, or even up this much sometimes too.
There's also the, like, everybody gets up to play the Lakers element. Yeah. LeBron always describes the season as a marathon, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's whenever he asked about the whole thing, he uses that word all of the time. And you don't run as fast as you can during a marathon, at least during the whole time. Right. and so the thing with that though is, for a lot of teams, especially, I think we're going to have trouble with young athletic teams in this respect, because mm-hmm. they're more equipped to burn us right for that. And we saw some of that with Phoenix, and mm-hmm. Of just like, teams are going to come in to play the Lakers as they always do. But even especially with, you know, we're the team, we're defending mm-hmm. champs and all that, they're like, tonight's my night, right? And right. Whereas for us, it's like, it's a Wednesday against Detroit, you know? And just like the energy difference. Basketball really requires your focus and attention. It's a very complex sport that requires your focus and, mm-hmm. and your full effort. And even if you're at 80%, if another team that is less talented gives you 100%, that can be all the difference in the world. That is it's 20-7 in the first 6 minutes and we're losing to a team like that, right? So
yep.
Basketball is hard and we're going to be circled on everybody's calendar. So yeah, prepare accordingly.
Well, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of their first 10 regular season games are all national TV.
Wow.
TNT Tuesday night, ABC for Christmas, NBA TV 4 more times over the course of that couple weeks. So get ready for that as well, by the way. You might not even need to get League Pass this year. You're going to see them often enough on all of that. And
yeah,
League
seriously.
Pass basically sucks. So don't do that to yourself. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete, next time you and I talk, the Lakers will have just played a basketball game.
I cannot wait.
Oh, man, can't wait to see that. Thank you again to our sponsors. Make sure you head on over to betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% of your deposit back. It's going to be a really fun year this year, man. I cannot possibly wait. This is a super fun roster, super talented roster, and a super talented league, by the way, too. This is a much better all-around league this year than it was last year. So it's even more reason to tune in on a nightly basis. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.